Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on the issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Today's episode of New Cyber Frontier, today we are going to talk about some new market type of additions and some security for IoT, Internet of Things. Today's guest, Utam Gutman, is the Vice President of Marketing for a company called SecuraThings. Interesting, they have been around for 3 years. Here again, we're looking at the art of the possible and what's coming under the market. Utam, welcome today. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine, thank you.
Yeah. So Utam and SecuraThings started from in Israel, Tel Aviv, right? Recently moving to the U.S., but he'll talk about the company later. First of all, Utam, give me a background on yourself. How did you get to where you're at? I mean, you weren't always in the cybersecurity. Well, maybe you were, but tell me your background and how you got here.
Career in the Israeli Navy. I'm an ex-naval officer, and I work with the local defense, homeland security, and intelligence industry.
Yeah, I'm an ex-Navy guy myself here in the United States. So good to hear.
Navy.
Yeah, go ahead.
Cybersecurity began to really catch up around 5 years ago in the big data breach, and the industry here in Israel is very well developed. We have over 400 companies and the largest cyber companies per capita in the world, and that was a very big attraction for me, so I migrated into this industry, and after working with several companies, I realized that there was a specific niche market within this big industry that was not well catered for, and that's the security of connected device, also known as IoT security. And I joined SecuraThings with the aim of providing better security to these devices.
Okay, so security for Internet of Things devices. I hear and talk to a lot of people kind of in this space. And you said over 100 companies there in Tel Aviv. When we talk, and people say, yeah, I'm securing Internet of Things, our company's doing that. They're not all working together. They're doing something different. What differentiates one from another? What makes one company in this space more valuable than another? Give me some kind of your thoughts on how and which ones are more effective.
So companies in this area are by large divided into four subcategories. Companies that are focusing on securing the smart home and all the apparatus of smart devices in the home environment.
Okay.
Then there are companies focusing on enterprise IoT with the main aim of securing enterprise from threats that might come from connected devices. There are other companies that are specializing in industrial IoT, which is a fairly new field of smart factories and Industry 4.0. And then there's the sector that we're part of, which is the pure play IoT, in which companies are focusing on providing security for IoT devices and consumers. So if I just can narrow it down, we are securing the devices, where a lot of other companies are more focused on security things that come from the device into enterprises.
Okay.
Each one with a different point of view and technology.
Do you think eventually they need to consolidate into one solution that works, or is there room in these four or more spaces for everybody to coexist?
Looking at other other sectors in cybersecurity, I don't think there's going to be consolidation here. In general, there are over 150 subcategories of products in cybersecurity, so I don't think that there's going to be consolidation here. I do think that some of the solutions will be bundled together. For instance, if it's an IoT solution for the enterprise, it's going to be part of the enterprise cybersecurity apparatus, the IT security, whereas the pure play IoT solutions will have a standalone niche market, which is expected to be very big because there's going to be billions of connected devices in the coming years.
Okay, fair enough. Hold on for a minute. We'll be back.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
All right, and we're back here on New Cyber Frontier talking to you, Tom Gutman, the VP of Marketing at SecureThings. Before we broke, we were talking about the different market segments in IoT security. And you said you're a pure play, so I wanted to kind of expand on that and say, okay, as a pure play, what is the biggest problem or the problem you're trying to solve, the thing that keeps you going and says, this is why we decided to be in this space, because here is the problem. What is the problem you're solving?
So I'll just like to take a step back and just explain what IoT really is.
Okay.
So in an essence, IoT is comprised of many smaller devices with some compute power and connectivity to the internet and the cloud. Being that these are in a nutshell, small computers, and they are connected, means that they are vulnerable to cyber attacks. And as we've seen, there have been some very large-scale attacks in the past 18 months involving hundreds of thousands of IoT devices that were recruited and used for cyber attacks. We aim to provide security for these types of devices, because we think that in the wrong hands, there's a very capable and nefarious threat actors, could be nation state, terrorists, activists. There is a scenario that some entity will infect and recruit millions of these devices and unleash a very lethal attack, either on an internet infrastructure, as has happened before with the Mirai botnet, or they can use the physical attributes of these devices, because some of them are connected to thermostats, to ovens, to heating and cooling systems, to street lighting, and then create some sort of physical interference that could be potentially lethal. So this is the type of threat that we're trying to secure from.
Yeah. So, and I've heard people talk about exactly what you mentioned there is, if you think that, you know, like there's a lot of different ovens, there's a lot of different thermostats, it'd be very difficult for somebody to hack them all at the same time. They might get one brand of oven, which will be affected, you know, one in 500 people maybe in a city. You know, it's not, and I wonder how big the physical attack on a distributed product is when you're really only gonna hack one product at a time. What's your thoughts on that?
So we don't have to look that far back in history to realize that the way that these devices are constructed create huge vulnerabilities. And if you look at the large-scale attack that happened about a year and a half ago, that attack utilized a vulnerability and a firmware component that was made in some factories, and then used as a part in multiple types of cameras by multiple vendors. They were all using that piece of firmware, and they were all vulnerable because of that. So although this is a complicated and complex ecosystem, they really use the same component at the baseline. So just the fact that it's a different vendor doesn't make it more secure than the other. That's even worse is that these vendors don't build the products with security in mind. They try to keep the cost very low, and that many times means that they use the cheapest possible components. Sometimes they come pre-impregnated with malware or with backdoors that could later be utilized for cyber attack. Mm-hmm. Although it does sound far-fetched, the reality has shown that hundreds of thousands of security cameras from different vendors were utilized for one large attack, and it's pretty conceivable that this will happen again.
Yeah. Well, you know what? As you were describing the case that you described here was a camera. Now, I didn't see, you know, with that one, we don't have a physical component. I could see, like, if one manufacturer makes a lot of stoplights and we can turn them all red or green at the same time, cause some accidents, you know, that's a physical, you know, logical to physical concern. But when you're talking about cameras, I think it's a different category. This is a privacy concern. So, you know, expand on that, you know, it's really, you know, you're not going to hurt somebody with a camera unless you get some information that they don't want you to have. So it's, you know, that privacy aspect. What are your thoughts about that? It's probably a bigger privacy aspect than a physical damage or physical concern. What are your thoughts?
So I think that you hit it right on the spot. Cameras pose a different threat than most IoT devices, because they record our actions. And therefore that expose us to privacy risk. We have seen numerous cases of cameras being hacked into, cameras' credentials being abused, insiders from organizations accessing different cameras that they shouldn't. And all this really leads to a severe breach of privacy. Even more so with new regulations coming along with the European Union and in other places that are trying to better enforce the privacy of the users. So anyone who is operating a large-scale array of cameras for security, for monitoring, for safe and smart city applications should be concerned about their cybersecurity because they could be hacked into. And then the footage could be made available just to anyone in the world.
Yeah. So let's, if we took that aspect and said, wow, maybe people should know something about that, what would some recommendations you'd give for people to maybe lessen the impact or eliminate it altogether? I mean, give some people some advice about protecting their privacy there with these IoT devices.
Advice I would give people, and I'm talking about consumers who are buying that for their own homes, is that it's really the hype now to buy all these connected devices and just plug it in and connect it to your Wi-Fi. But to stop for a moment and think, do you really need this device to be connected? Do you really need to access it from the internet? And if the answer is no, then I think that you should wait just a little bit longer until more stringent regulation and standards will go into place about the security of these devices. Second of all, when you put such device in your home, it could be an Alexa, it could be a smart TV that actually takes pictures of you even if you're not aware of that, you should really be aware that there's now some new element in your life that wasn't there before, and it's constantly monitoring and recording your activities. The danger here is after a while you get used to it and you act normally around these devices. That is very different from how we behave when we go online and access the internet through our computers and our mobile phones. We are now aware that there are risks to our privacy, to our security, to our money, and we behave differently. But when we embed such devices in our home environment, we tend to forget about them and live naturally around them, and that exposes us to risk. The third would be that if you do buy such device and install it, there are some, you know, best practices that you should adhere to. Is never ever use the default setting of the devices. That makes hacking into them too easy for outsiders. And if you're not sure about this, you can always consult with the device maker or some technical aspect on how to configure this. Otherwise, you'll bring a device home. It is easily hackable. It has been proven time and again that people can access baby monitors and personal helpers, and you're just exposing yourself to the outside world. It's just like living in a house with no walls, just windows.
Okay. Let's take a break real quick. We're going to come back, but I want to talk about that privacy thing some more. We'll be right back after we hear from our sponsors.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Over 3 million data breaches happen every single day. That's over 2,000 records being compromised every minute. So often, we focus on securing web data access. But what if the attackers are already inside, having gained direct access to your storage through data management software? When it comes to communications that go directly into your storage devices, make SNIA your first line of protection. SNIA's conformance testing limits outdated communications that are known to be used by attackers. It works continuously behind the background to make sure your storage is protected. To find out if your data is truly secure, visit our website at www.snia.org/cybertest.
All right, welcome back to New Cyber Frontier. We're speaking today with Yotam Gutman, the VP of Marketing for SecureThings. And he was giving us some consumer best practices or thought processes around these new Alexas, smart TVs, IoT-enabled devices we're bringing into our home. And, you know, I would ask you, Yotam, these devices cost a little bit more, the smart TV, than a regular TV. People are buying them for the feature. But you said, you know, be careful, don't connect them yet. So would we really say maybe don't buy them yet, wait for later, wait for a better product? What are you saying there in actuality?
So I'm saying that you should really consider and try to understand what these devices, which impact will it have on your privacy. If you're buying a smart TV, it has a video component embedded into it, you should take into consideration that someone can access that and look through that on your living room. Now, if you don't have to do it and you don't think that's a risk we're having, I think you can just get a regular connected TV without that device. Same goes for Alexa. If you want to have an Alexa and you enjoy giving voice commands, that's fine. I wouldn't put it in my bedroom or in my kids' room. Okay, just put it in the living room.
Yeah.
Just think about small adjustments you can make just to, you know, lower the risk to your privacy.
Yeah. You know, I have been in a conference that was mostly politicians and political minded people, and those people, you know, talked very highly about being worried about privacy as a problem for their own protection, you know, because they are public people and they thought it could be damaging to their career. Most of them had this impression, and when privacy was talked about, they were the most concerned. But yet then, when somebody asked how many people in that room owned an Alexa, it was over 90%. At the same time, a technology conference where people that are not really on the, you know, we'll say they're less social, less technology people, a lot of times they're a little introverted. The same question was asked one time, well, how many people own Alexa? I think it was one or two hands in the whole, you know, large conference of people that were into this voice-activated technology. It seems to me like the people who are most concerned about privacy are also the people who are adapting to these new privacy compromising technologies. What are your thoughts on that?
today because we are aware of different risks and potential threats that the digital world is bringing into our life. But on the other hand, everybody wants convenience. Everyone wants a frictionless life. And it's a matter of compromise on how much of your privacy you're willing to risk at the moment. I can tell you that if you talk to actually to the security personnel, almost everyone will have the cameras on their laptop covered at most times. None of them will access public Wi-Fi. No one will check their bank accounts on the road from their mobile. No one will give or enter their credit card into their mobile devices. So people who are familiar with the threats, they are more cautious. And when it comes to privacy, people look at it in different aspects. I mean, we are all sharing almost every aspect of our life online, so people think, okay, if I post a picture on Facebook, what does it matter if my home device take a picture of me? But what you don't realize is that these are constantly looking at you. We've seen incidents where we've had technicians of a vendor that sells the security equipment from the support center, and they were checking on specific cameras at specific times. So even if that was not proper hacking, because these guys were technicians, they had the credentials, they were still abusing the privacy of their customers. So it can come from different places. Even if you are cautious, you're not fully aware of the risk that these devices bring into your life.
Yeah, definitely. So shifting gears a little bit, your company, SecureThings, tell us about that solution, what it is that you are doing to solve or to address this problem that we've been talking about for the first part of the show.
So, SecureThings is a technology company which was founded by people who are experts in cybersecurity and connected devices. We have a large R&D team here in Tel Aviv and a sales operation in the state. And what our technology does, and in that sense it's very unique, is we are today able to deploy software agents, pieces of code, onto connected devices. But we do so very delicately without interfering with the device operation.
Mm-hmm.
This piece of software monitors the activity of the device, who accesses the device, which processes are running. So we're not seeing the video footage or hearing the recorder, but we're just looking at the data that runs in the operation system of the device. We then send it back to the cloud where we can run large-scale big data analysis. This is not something that you can currently do on the device itself. And then we very quickly identify attacks on the devices, meaning people try to hack into the device and infect the device, trying to infect other devices, someone from within the organization maliciously accessing a device, and then we can notify either the service provider or the user in real time and help them mitigate the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So this is really our focus on providing security in real time for these devices.
Okay, so when you said, the second thing you said really kind of stuck with me because I want to understand this a little bit more. You're collecting data from end node devices, from people's distributed IoT devices, and pulling that all to a central repository to do analysis on it. Haven't you just made another big database for somebody to hack into that now has millions of people's end node device information on it?
Are already connected to the cloud and the data is being stored in the cloud anyway. We're not doing anything to add on that. The second aspect is what we're looking at is very specific data that runs in the device, meaning the entity that is logged into the device, its IP address, its physical location, which processes are running on the device. Again, these are purposely built devices. So if it's a camera, it should run certain processes. It's another process now trying to install itself. It's pretty obvious that it's something malicious. And we conduct this analysis at the same cloud that the service provider uses to store the data anyways. So we're not adding any backdoor vulnerability, nor we're breaching the privacy of the customers. Again, we're not exposed to the video footage, voice recording, voice commands at all. We're just saying what the device is activity, the consumption of its CPU, all the things that can indicate that something unregular or abnormal is happening to the device.
Okay. So tell us where your product is at, who you market to. Is it actually something you fully sell right now, or do you, you know, and who's your customers?
So our product is actually ready and deployed with a number of clients at the moment. We are working with telcos, with system integrators, with IoT service providers in Israel, in the States, and in other geographies. Our go-to market or clients are currently the IoT service providers and integrators. I'll give an example from one field where we have tremendous traction, and that's the physical security and video surveillance, where you have service providers that provide service for hundreds of thousands of cameras. They're all managed sensorily, and we deploy it to all of these cameras. We help those service providers identify attacks, improve the quality of service, reduce the time between the infection and the clearance of the malware. So we help them provide better secure service to their end customers.
Okay. And you just recently, I think you were saying before when we talked, opened up business in the United States and started kind of a market acquisition phase now. Talk about that and what your plans are here for the near term.
So we recently opened a sales office in New York, and our main goal today is to strike partnerships with large system integrators and distributors. We already have cooperation with Johnson Controls, which is, I think, is the largest solution or systems integrator in the field of connected buildings and physical security. They help us distribute our product to their clients, and this is our goal for this year, to get a large footprint on the market. We've not seen a lot of local or international competition. We are slightly ahead of the market, so that gives us a good headway and an advantage that we want to utilize to get our solution to as many customers as possible.
Okay. So who are you looking to engage with you, and how would they do so?
So we're looking for IoT service providers, for systems integrators, all those entities that are either owning, deploying, or servicing large amounts of connected devices. We're talking in the hundreds of thousands. These are our classic partners at the moment. And the best way to contact them would be through me, and then I can just pass on your details to our local sales office.
All right, and do you have a URL or email you want to give out?
Yes, you can contact us at securethings.com. My email is yotam.g@securethings.com. That's yotam.g@securethings.com.
All right, well, thanks for joining today, Yotam. It's definitely been a pleasure, and we enjoyed learning about the problems and solutions you're addressing today. Thanks a lot for being on the show. The views or opinions expressed during this podcast are not those of Colorado Technical University.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.